Welcome to the new podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome officially back to the new podcast. I am your host, Marcos, with my fellow co-host, as always, Justin.
Hello, 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 hello. I missed you guys so much. I miss doing this podcast so much. I miss seeing you almost every single day.
How do I look right now?
You look great. You look really comfy.
Dude, I'm just full, just across this damn love seat right now. It's feeling sensational.
He looks like he's ready to fall asleep. If you're seeing, I'm going to describe to you the visual of Marcos Sinosha right now.
I got it. Check this out.
Okay.
Have you guys been to San Francisco?
No.
You haven't been to San Fran?
I've been.
Tony, have you been to San Fran? So, in San Fran, there's an area by the pier where the seals like to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know what he's saying right now.
I'm one of those seals.
Yeah.
Very relaxed in the sun.
Yeah. He's like Rose from the Titanic.
Exactly. In the seat of the car. There you go.
Putting her like one of the French ladies.
Exactly. That's me right there.
I am drawing Marcos. I'm Jack. And I'm drawing Marcos right now. That's exactly how it looks. I am drawing him. His beautiful, amazing
I have clothes
body.
On, guys. Okay, I have fucking clothes on, please. You're going to think I'm naked, dude. You're going to think I'm fucking naked.
I mean, you're laying like you're naked.
I don't know, man. We're relaxed. I had too much sleep yesterday. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Calls me at like 8 p.m. and I'm just fully engulfed in a beautiful dream. And I wake up and I text him like, dude, I was knocked the fuck out. Like, I was just full in sleep. I thought I was going to go in for the full 8 hours. And then when I text him back, do a little restroom break, you know, grab a little snack, a little water, go back, dude. And then next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. I'm like, holy shit.
This guy's crazy. I mean, I was calling you to give you great news. So,
ooh.
So the great news I was calling you about was this water we're all drinking right now.
Oh, that's okay? What you're calling about.
You know this brand, right?
Yeah, Pellegrino.
Okay, Pellegrino. You guys all know what that means. It's bougie, right? And I have this life hack I'm about to tell every single person. And you will be drinking sparkling CO2 water, Pellegrino flavored. And it's expensive. You know, you go to the store, this is pretty expensive. You go to Target, it's pretty expensive. But there's this life hack. You can go to Ross, your local Ross, and they sell this in boxes for about $3.
That is true, guys.
$3. I got, so there's about six, there's a 16 pack and there is a 12 pack. So 28 cans of Pellegrino CO2 sparkling water flavored. I got it for $17. That's at least a good, what, 70 cents a bottle? A can, yeah. I mean, a can. That's a bargain. So if you want to look bougie, go to Ross.
Go to Ross.
Get your Pellegrino water.
Come out with the 12-pack of Pellegrino
and
a pair of Nike sweats.
Yeah, and post it on your story and look like you are living the fucking life.
They'll never know.
That's a life hack. That's a life hack, guys. And honestly, I just personally like Pellegrino water. Like, it tastes great. I like it. But I don't drink it often.
I'm not the biggest fan of mineral water. Is that what it is, right? Mineral
water? Yeah, it's mineral water. Yeah.
What was the difference between mineral water and
mineral
water?
Has minerals.
Yeah. I guess it's in its name, Justin. I don't know. I guess the proof it's in its pudding, dude.
Yeah. You're right.
My dad always used to get like fucking Perrier's or
Perrier.
And dude, he'd be like, you want some? Try it. And every single time, it's just like,
you don't like it? So you don't like this drink?
It's like flat soda, dude.
That's the point. I mean, dude, this, if I want to drink soda, I go and get a sparkling.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess for a more healthy alternative, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't really too healthy.
Oh, these
have sugar in them?
These have sugar in them, yeah.
How about this? How about the water one?
30 grams.
30 grams?
How about this one?
Oh, that one, no. That one's chill.
Okay.
That one just has a little bit of
flavor. Okay. This one's like, all their different flavors. Oh, there's a zero one. That's a zero one.
So there's three kinds. So there's the Pellegrino lemon zest flavored mineral water with natural CO2. And then there's the flavored ones like that and the orange one over there. I think we bought too much, but I think we can bring this back on the next recording.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so as you can tell, we're all back. And we have a new friend here that you just heard, Tony. He's amazing.
Tony.
He's our amazing friend, and he is now one of our producers. And he is, if you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, he's our
Jamie. But he's our Tony.
I'm Tony.
But he's Tony. Our Tony. He's our Tony. Tony. Listen to how we sound right now.
Upgrade.
This is not possible without Tony. I mean, this guy is. I love him. I want to hug him right now, you know. But I'm gonna give you an air hug from over here.
Man of many talents, he is.
Yeah, man of many talents.
Since we have Tony here,
what?
Might as well talk about Tony a little bit. You know,
okay.
Let's talk a little bit about.
Yeah, Tony. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, what's?
So let's talk about how we met Tony.
Okay.
We'll go there. So I met Tony through, I contracted him for a short film.
What a great.
I wanted to sound very professional there.
What a great vocabulary.
But I hit him up. I said, what's up, Tony?
I contracted him. Wow.
I said, what's up, Tony? You know, I need a sound mixer boom operator for a short. You know, we're looking for this. Are you interested? Here's the script, you know? And he was. And he was willing to work with the budget. So off that, I already knew this guy's fucking, you know, he's a great dude, you know? Just the conversations were awesome. And, you know, the phone call was a good phone call. I was like, I can't wait to meet Tony, you know? We finally meet. First day of the shoot, and off the bat, you know, just having conversations about just everything and anything, you know.
It's like a great first date.
Really, it really was. Yeah. It really was. It was a match made in heaven.
It was a fun set.
It really was. Yeah, and it was everyone was fun, and you know, it was just a great atmosphere, and you know, having Tony there, you know, definitely elevated the production, I'd say, because, dude.
The audio was amazing.
Amazing, right? Bro. Yeah. Super crisp. This guy right here, like Hollywood, if you're looking for an audio dude right here, Tony's your fucking man. Tony will provide you with the best audio.
DM us.
We'll get you on Tony real quick.
We don't have an agency. Everything will go to Tony.
But yeah, man. So yeah, pretty much, you know, met Tony through that. And now we're here. Now he's producing this podcast with us, and he's the another voice right here on this podcast.
He's
and
the man.
We're going to talk about Tony a little bit. So, Tony, where are you from?
I am a Los Angeles native, one of the few in the entertainment industry.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's a
rare one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you get into working in production?
So, growing up here, there was always the tinge of like some kind of entertainment industry job. So, in high school, I did a lot of music, I did a lot of stage production. And I was always doing backstage stuff. That's where I got into sound. I was around 15. After high school, I kept doing it, like just doing it around Hollywood, small productions, just small venues and stuff. Right. And then I did go into like the 9-to-5 kind of grind for a long time. COVID happened. And then I was like, what do I want to do with my life? Like now that I got laid off from my job, I used to work at a law office.
Okay.
I got laid off. And it was really just a question of like, what do I want to do? Yeah. Like now that I have this opportunity to like find what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. I was like, I always love doing sound and stuff. And then I've always had it in the back of my head to work on movies. So that's where I was like, that's my path in, you know, that's my way into doing what I want to do.
Right.
Damn. So that was after high school. You didn't go to school for audio?
No.
Damn.
I learned all this in high school, a lot of it. But it's also been my like hobby for, I'm 33. So it's been my hobby for 15 years of like, if you go to my house.
Right.
This is a lot of, you know, I have gear like this.
Yeah.
I have
gear mixers, for days.
I have
right.
a good stereo system. It's just, it's part of what it's in my blood to like have good sound.
Right.
So, like just for myself. So yeah, it's one of those things.
Dang, that's pretty freaking cool. Mm-hmm. So what's the end goal? Do you want to direct? Do you want to make your own stuff?
I think eventually I will direct something. Yeah. Only because film in an audio sense, we get a few movies here and there. Like we get The Quiet Place, which you know, is one of those movies that has a good like score and stuff.
What about the movie I saw through COVID, which tripped me out with audio, was Tenet.
Tenet. Oh yeah, Tenet's great.
So like, I don't know if you noticed, but like a lot of the, like it's kind of almost hard sometimes to hear the audio of the movie. Yeah. Like to hear you know what I'm saying?
You have to watch Tenet in IMAX or in a Dolby theater. Their mix is really strong, like in a Dolby mix. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to a Dolby theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dolby theaters are just like, if you're into sound, that's where you want to be more than anything else, just because you're going to pick up on the way they mix correctly. It's just amazing. Wow. But yeah, like, not a lot of people tackle film from a sound perspective. And I think that's something unique that I can actually bring to doing film.
Yeah, you're totally right.
And also, like, I have my background with music and, like, what I used to be really into with music. A lot of my stories that I write and stuff are music-based, so I think it'd be a fun exploration of sound, music, and film, like, putting the imagery to that.
Putting it all together. Mm-hmm. And, like, with the main aspect of focusing on the score and the sound, and damn, that's really...
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Quiet Place, I've seen the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't speak in it at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really weird soundtrack for a movie. Like, and if you saw it in theaters, it's so weird to just, like, be in a quiet theater.
I want to watch that.
And see popcorn the whole time.
Yeah, you hear people chewing. And people get uncomfortable because, like, they don't want to move. Because it's so freaky. You can hear a pin drop. You can hear the person, like, shuffle. So, like, and it creates a cool atmosphere, especially for that kind of movie where it's, like, people are feeling that discomfort that the characters probably feel in that world, you know?
Oh, my God. It's literally an experience.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You really had to see it in theaters to, like, feel that.
Like you said, it makes you feel what they're feeling because they're so uncomfortable. They can't say anything. Mm-hmm. They can't move or else they're going to get killed. It's kind of like in a movie theater when you're watching, you can't move or somebody's going to get pissed at you. Exactly. It's the same exact thing. Jeez. You know?
It brings us so much attention. And that's like that's kind of the whole point of that soundtrack is like you moving brings attention. Imagine living in that world where like
you can't move at all.
You can't take a bite of popcorn because some monster's going to come.
Right. Like it's literally a quiet place. You got to be in the quiet place. Yeah, in the movie theater, it's a quiet place. You can't.
Yeah.
Damn, I never really thought
of that. Damn, yeah. That's very immersive. That's a very immersive movie.
I've edited two things. And when you start playing with the score and the music that you want to have, the soundtrack, it adds such a big element to the movie. Mm-hmm. Like this person can literally say a certain line and that's how it's going to sound. But if you add a soundtrack to it, it elevates it from like a 8 to a freaking 18, like quick. You know, and I'm just like, fuck, that's good. That's even better now. It's like so crazy. And I just want to see, like, what is that idea that you have?
There's two levels to, like, a film or a project where, like, how we're seeing it, how we're experiencing it. There's, like, the literal level. Like, this character is hearing these things. This character is going, you know, the stuff that's diegetic. The stuff in the movie that we know exists there. But I think a lot of the stuff that I would work on kind of is more expressive and more figurative.
Yeah.
So we'd have a character who's going through something and the music wouldn't necessarily be like a song.
Right.
But it'd be like their emotional kind of like ride. Mm-hmm. So I grew up listening to a lot of punk rock and stuff. And there is like kind of like these two like competing sides to punk rock. There's like the Ramones where it's like melodic and kind of goofy and kind of like fun, and then there's like the other kind of more like casualties and stuff where it's like just pure like aggression, right? Where it's like gonna get in your face and stuff, and playing with that like duality in a soundtrack and like, you know, writing my own songs for that kind of thing, that's something I want to experiment with, you know, finding moments where like we're not seeing anybody play the drums, we're not seeing that, but like we understand that it's happening somewhere and like it's moving the story along. That moment is like in the mind of the character, their emotional journey.
Right.
Like, yeah, I think that's something I would play with. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Know? There's so much. Oh my God. Yeah. We've been learning. So I've produced two things in my lifetime and I'm so new to this acting and producing and all this sort of stuff. The main thing that I've really learned is there's no shortcuts.
Yeah.
Don't take any shortcuts to making something that you want to make. That's like the number one mistake in the first thing we produced. That was like the biggest thing because we took a lot of, we literally, for the first thing we did, we literally not hired people, but we just brought people that we knew. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a full team. We literally just had a DP camera op and an audio guy, and he was both.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. I mean, the film isn't bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a lot of things to learn, but that's the number one thing that I've been learning. Me and Marcos have been learning is that we can't take any shortcuts. Mm-hmm. There's people out there that do their job because that's their job and that's what they want to do and that's their passion, which would bring such an added element to your film.
Yeah.
You know, from all the way from makeup, from props to
set DP, dressing,
set dress, everything.
Every single job yeah. plays such a vital freaking role. Yes. It's insane.
Yeah. Can't take any shortcuts.
You can't.
Literally, man, even to makeup, a lot of people would take away makeup from their set to save money, mm-hmm. right? They're like, just come makeup ready.
Yeah.
Or come wardrobe ready, right? But if you really look at it from a DP's perspective, from a CLT's perspective, the lighting perspective, makeup plays a huge role. There's something shining on the right side. Maybe makeup can just make it flatter and it'll be, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right term, but you know, maybe makeup can come in and work on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Touch up a little bit,
like shiny forehead or a shiny cheek, or maybe they need to look more stressed, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. Like the smallest things like that play a factor.
Do you, I don't know, this probably goes for both of you.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed this for myself working more and more sets. When you watch something, when you watch just like a random, you're gonna watch like random Lifetime movie or something.
Yeah.
Do you in your head break down like, oh, that's how this happened? Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
All the fucking time, dude. Yeah. All the freaking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear microphones. Like I can tell what microphones they're using, and I can tell like, oh, this person was like, this is not a good shot. You know, yeah. like they were the sound guy was inconvenienced because of this thing.
Yeah,
like I can see it when I'm watching a show. Sometimes it's terrible because I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. See, I'm not at that level yet mm-hmm. where I know what kind of mic or like what kind of lens they use. Yeah. I'm not at that level, but I'm at a level where I saw how they set that shot up.
Mm-hmm.
I could kind of see how they're shooting it. I could kind of see where the camera is. I could kind of see where the lighting is at, like what's going on and stuff. Movies.
Marvel.
What do you guys think of the Marvel series? I'm in love.
I'm not going to voice my opinion.
Oh wait, really?
You don't like the Marvel series?
No, well, you know.
You just talked about Spider-Man.
Yeah, I did. And you know, like I said, it's a fun movie. It's just I think the opinion's pretty out there. Like if people know this. People will say this.
Yeah.
They're kind of generic sometimes. Like
right.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I think that's it. Like
That's all. I don't really care. I mean, I love watching it. I love the original MCU.
Mm-hmm.
All like the original Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, all the Avengers to the last one. Anything after the last Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
What's the last one? Endgame, right?
Mm-hmm.
After Endgame, I haven't really kept up.
Yeah. I love the shows, actually. Like, I really
The Marvel shows are like She-Hulk and all that. Yeah, those are actually really good.
They're really fun.
Yeah.
They're super cool to watch.
Yeah, those are super cool. Yeah. But those guys making money.
Yeah, of course.
Money.
Yeah. Anything Marvel right now is definitely a eye catcher. It's definitely a blockbuster.
I just definitely want a reason to get extremely buff and get paid for it. that's for like sure. one and like I hope they call me and like, hey, you want to be the first Filipino villain or a superhero? I'm like, I get to work out and you guys pay me and I get to look jacked. Sure.
Is there a superhero that you'd want to play? Like actually like
ooh.
Is there somebody that you feel like
that's already out there?
Already out there, like that you feel like you can pull off,
huh.
And that would be like your kind of dream to like.
I've never thought about this question ever in my life.
Really?
Holy shit, no. I know I've always wanted to be a like that's one of my dream roles is a superhero either on DC or Marvel. Like mm-hmm. that's like a dream role. If I ever land that in my life, I would be the happiest person.
So somebody like came to you and like, hey, dude. You're like a shoe-in for our Robin and our new thing, like Batman and Robin. Like
I see you, Robin. Oh, I see you, Robin.
You do it,
Robin.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun. Actually, I think I would fit a Robin because I'm not 6'3".
Uh-huh.
I'm not genetically.
You know what you jacked. Would fit? You would definitely pull a good Flash. Like see you as Flash.
Yes. Yeah. Flash would be a good one for me. I think the Robin I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like in just my type of character, just my type of personality, I feel like I would fit as a good Robin to a Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be really fun. I feel like I can really tap into that because.
Got a better question for you.
What?
Who would you want to be your Batman?
Ooh.
Does it have to be an existing Batman?
No, it can be anyone you think fits. It would fit a Batman role.
I would want this to be an Asian thing.
Ooh, so I like that.
I'm into it.
I'm
kind of thinking Henry Golding.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that would be a good match just because he's. The typical leading Asian man. He's buff. He's tall.
Mm-hmm.
his aura, everything. He has the British accent. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm about 5'7", 5'8". I'm a little bit more jolly, jolly, happy-go guy. And yeah, I feel like I'd fit a good Robin next to him. I would like Simu Liu too, but he's already Shang-Chi. Yeah. So it wouldn't make any sense. But yeah, Henry Golding, that's like a perfect for me, a good Batman, especially if he gets jacked.
Good Bruce Wayne, good Batman. Like he,
actually, it's not bad.
You know what I'm saying? Like he has that vibe. He could get really serious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would definitely. Robin would be one. I like the Flash. And existing in the Marvel MCU, if I were to be offered like a reboot role, that's a good one. Fuck. Either Ant-Man. I would love to play Ant-Man. Oh. Just because like the comedic timing of that.
Yeah.
Or Star-Lord.
Okay. Ooh, Star-Lord. I like that one.
I feel like I fit more of that because
ooh, kind of the more wacky kind of like comic.
Speaking of Star-Lord, because I know you like Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Chris Pratt as Mario?
Oh, don't even.
Oh, shit.
No.
Why did we tap
him? Oh, no.
I disturbed a cave I wasn't supposed to.
No. It's fine. Like, you know, it's one of those things where like, how else could you do this? And I was talking about it with my friend actually like just last week or 2 weeks ago. And I was telling him I'd totally be okay if the story kind of like made it happen. Like if Chris Pratt is chilling playing Mario and he gets sucked into the world.
Oh shit.
I'd be fine with that. You know?
That's like, a good idea.
And he embodies Mario and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But like I know that's not what it's gonna be, and it's gonna be like it's just his voice and it's gonna be really weird for me. Only because I think we all grew up with like
The Italian,
you know, the dude that plays Mario's
it's
voice.
It's me, man. Yeah.
So it's really
they took
odd.
Out the accent, right?
Yeah. It's just Chris Pratt being Chris Pratt, which is like
it's odd. Gonna be hard to
really connect with it. Yeah. I mean, it's for kids. It's not for me. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's not for the 33-year-old dude who like.
I don't. But the like cast though,
it's loaded.
It's loaded, but the movie is for kids.
That's true. At the end of the day, who's it being distributed by?
I don't even remember.
Is it?
I have no idea.
I'm going to just look it up.
I like the way you said that.
Isn't it Universal?
I think it is. Oh, it is. Yeah. Obviously, it is Universal because they're having fucking Nintendo World. Land, yeah. They already have Nintendo Land in Japan.
Yeah.
There you go. Dude, I like the way you said it's not for me. I'm trying to go. Oh, yeah. I talked to him about it last night.
He did talk to me about that.
I was like, you know how objectively you could say there's a bad movie or a bad show. Objectively, from a professional standpoint, people may say that. But at some level, it's still subjective because it's a story.
Yeah.
And the way they've made it, the way their vision is. So somewhat, it is still subjective. But I'm trying to stay away from me saying, fuck, that's a terrible movie. Fuck, that's a bad show, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right. There's a thing here. There's no such thing as like an actually bad movie, right?
Yes.
Like there's terrible movies that they failed at like what they were trying to do.
Yes.
But there's still some, if you can get something out of it, if you can get enjoyment out of it, if you can learn from it, it has worth, right? So it's not like bad. It's just like maybe they didn't complete their objective.
Right. Exactly. I mean? Yeah.
So it's one of those I love bad movies. Like I love quote unquote bad movies that like that people like will not watch because they're so poorly executed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've watched so many of them and I've learned more about making good movies by watching bad movies.
Exactly.
There's because I've learned what not to do.
Yeah.
You know?
What's not for you and what's not your brand and what your type of storytelling is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to appreciate everything, whatever, if it's objectively bad, sure, like you could say whatever your opinion is. But for me, when I'm around people, I just want to have fun. I just want to relax. I just don't want to shit on something or someone. Mm. I hate it. That's why for movies or shows, I'm just trying to say it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
They pay people to criticize, so.
Criticizing is fine. Yeah. Like you're allowed to like watch something and be like, you know, they really could have done something better. you know what I mean?
That's being professional.
Yeah.
You know, they get paid to do that.
Yeah. But making fun of things, like, and there's some things you can. Like if somebody, this is gonna be kind of a hot take. If you make a movie and you genuinely put effort into it, and you tried real hard to make your vision come through and you just didn't have the resources, you didn't have the time, you didn't have all the things that you need to make it look right. Mm. Sometimes the outcome of that is funny.
Right.
And we're not like, when I watch something like that, I'm not like the you know, the big obvious like reference to that is like The Room. Like, can you guys see the room? Okay. Tommy
Wiseau's. I've talked to you about this. Yeah. Dave Franco. Yes, and
when they made the movie, right?
Yeah.
It's about that movie.
It's about that movie. So, like, that movie is a good point of reference for this. He tried so hard to make this very serious movie, and it came out terrible.
Like, fucking,
and he pivoted
so
with the marketing. He's like, it's a dark comedy. It's really not. It's really funny to watch because he tried so hard to make something good. And, like, but at the end of the day, it's like, we're no longer laughing at him.
Yeah,
where he was able to turn this around and make it something that, like, we get behind because we enjoy it, because we enjoy the badness of it.
Right.
So you stop laughing at him, you start laughing at the situation, and, like, you still made something.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and you made something people enjoy for whatever reason.
People want to go and watch.
Yeah, for whatever reason, people are going to show up to your theater, sell out a theater to watch your movie.
Yeah.
So, like, is it really bad? Like. Even though it's technically bad, and on every level it's bad, we're still there.
It's not bad.
It's not bad anymore.
It's just not for you.
Well, it is for these people.
Because they will go in and watch a bad movie.
Right. Well, it's for those people, exactly.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, though, is that, like, it's turning something that, like, turning a failure into, like, a success. Yeah. And a lot of movies need to do that. Like, you need to lean into it sometimes, you know?
And
lean into your budget.
Exactly. And that brings up a great point, too, where it's like, you still made something.
You still made something.
You know how many people have so many ideas and scripts written?
They don't do it.
They never see the light. Even things that have been made and shot still hasn't seen the light of day. Like, but you're out here making it. My friend Gabe brought this up, and he talks about people that make fun of something are the people that don't know how to make it or won't make it.
Yeah. It's always definitely. Like that. Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean make it successful. I'm saying, like, won't actually take the steps to do it, because it's a scary thing to make something, you know?
It's a whole new territory.
Yeah. It's always like, it's like just projection. They're making fun of it because they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just how I see it. Like, I just try to see everything. If it's not for me, it's not for me. If it's for me, it's for me. Like, I just not try to shit on it. Of course, objectively, there's going to be bad movies, like you said, because of budget, because of talent, maybe, because of something. You know, there's always
what I'm saying is, like, somebody's always going to enjoy your bad movie.
Yeah. Just because, like, your shit.
We're gonna be behind it because you tried.
Yeah.
Because you put effort, and even if it's bad, we're gonna get something out of it. Like, we're gonna be like, man, that was terrible, but I love this scene, and it was so, like, it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh man, this had a great concept, but, like,
could have been executed differently.
Yeah. And then that person who watches that can go and be like,
I
had the seed of an idea now, and, like, I'm going to go and, like, you know,
I love
expand on it.
It's like, filmmaking is so subjective. And when you see other filmmakers do what they do and be able to make something, I applaud that.
Yeah. It's amazing at the end of the day, no matter what.
Yeah. There's so many moving parts to making something. It's insane, bro. We talked about it earlier, but, like, I'm just to elaborate even more, just to get everybody on the same page, to get everybody to believe in the story, to see what your vision is. It's insane, man.
Yeah.
It's freaking nuts. But, like, seeing something being made that's yours, like, I know I never wrote any of the stuff that I produced, but seeing it happen from pre-production, seeing the script for the first time, and seeing the actors do it, even just at the auditioning process where I see the self-tapes and I see the auditions, I'm just like, damn. This is
real.
This is real. People do this. Wow. And the way they put themselves into it and their effort on, like, auditioning, I'm like, wow. People are really making an effort to tell the story right now. I can only imagine how a writer might feel.
Yeah.
You know, imagine how a writer might feel when they see their words and their world start to happen.
It's insane.
Oh my God.
Like, it's a whole new world. I mean, you're creating your own world initially.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and then having other people believe in that vision.
Yeah.
And then, you know, them believing it so much that they're willing to put their all in it as well.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's the best. The best you can ask for.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts seeing it. And I think one thing I want to do one day is for sure direct. I don't know if I'll ever write. I think I definitely want to direct. For me, making film, I love story. I want to make things that have story value, where it's real life story value. That's my number one niche. Like, I want to look for stories that are real life stories that we haven't heard before.
Mm.
Like Culture Shock, the stuff we worked on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I really, those are the type of stories I want to make. Mm-hmm. I want to be known for stories like that. Stories that we've never heard from people that we don't really see on TV.
Yeah.
Those are the stories I try to look for. And one thing that I really like about that is just being able to tell the real life struggles and perseverance people have. We don't see the stories of the people that aren't doing those big and crazy things. Mm-hmm. We see the Elon Musk, we see the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans. We see all that. We know their story. But how about the people every day?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So like we focus on the exceptional a lot.
Yes.
As a society. Yeah, definitely. And we, there does need to be more just like menial kind of like day-to-day slice of life, how people, you know, live for real. Yeah.
Yeah. That we don't see that as much. We see it in sitcoms, you know, they see the funny part of life, but it's not really, it's exaggerated.
Yeah. We understand that it's not real.
Yeah. That doesn't happen in real life, you know, like, but I want to see the real stuff. It might be boring to a lot of people. It might bore the fuck out of a lot of people, but there's certain, the way you can make it to not be boring.
Yeah. There's a way you can spice that up and make it something entertaining or at least make it something that like connects.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Have you seen the Elvis movie?
I haven't. Is it good?
Did you like it, Tony? You haven't?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it.
But like I am
I saw a couple parts and stuff, but like a lot of people are saying he should definitely be nominated for some kind of award for the performance.
He did that well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. Like even the director,
Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. He's like, dude, just the way he embodied him is like, I just didn't think he was going to reach that. Like, he was so, everyone was surprised. Like, even in some interviews, he still has like a deep ass.
I hear him in some interviews. Have you heard him in the interviews?
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, he really got into
it. Method acting at the finest right there.
I can't method. I think my method acting is not for me. That's not my process for sure. I don't know my process.
I think that's fine. Like, not everybody needs to be method.
I think
it's good.
Completely fine.
You're good. You're good.
I don't want to go home. Like, if pretend I ever play a very bad character, like a very negative character, right? And I come home to my family and I'm still negative.
I don't want that. You don't want to,
Sure respect the craft. I want to be the best I can possibly be for the director, the writer, the producers, everybody. Mm-hmm. I want to be the best. But I for sure can't do that where I take it after we say cut, like you said. Mm-hmm. Who are you after cut? Yeah, but I definitely I'm curious. So a lot of people, this is like a stigma in Hollywood, right? Like, oh, a lot of leading actors are assholes. I haven't had that experience in my life yet. So the last two sets that I've been on that studio, I haven't experienced a lead actor that's an asshole. Like on Nerf, I was the lead, like it was five of us that were leading, but none of us were fucking dicks or pricks. We were all the night, like we loved everybody. On Big Shot, John Stamos is the nicest and kindest man that I've been around. Like he was really nice. He was really inclusive. The first day on set, he shook my hand and asked my name. He was like, oh, are you Filipino? I'm like, God damn, you really like you're trying to like talk to me. Like I was like, holy fuck.
He related to you for sure.
Yeah, he's like, this is Uncle Jesse. Like he's talking to me. He's talking like that. You know, like that's insane. But for you, that's been on many sets already.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered like an asshole lead role? I have a feeling.
Actors? Anything, dude. Honestly,
asshole anything.
Actors are amazing.
That's
every single actor that I've met has been amazing. You know, because they're out there, not just like me interfacing with them, like because that's a big part of my job is like.
Yeah, you got to put the mics on.
Hey, I'm Tony. I have to get under your clothes. I'm sorry. Pretty much. Right, you know what I mean? That's part of my job. So like, I have to be there. And kind of and be a point of contact with them a lot. So every single actor has been super nice to me, has been accommodating and awesome.
Yeah.
Directors, I've had one that's just like,
oh shit,
I quit.
Story time.
Yeah. So I don't want to name names.
Story time.
I got called in. My friend of mine called me. She was like, hey, ADing on this set. We just started shooting. The director is firing their sound person tomorrow. Can you be on call for when that sound person leaves?
Red flag.
Yeah, so I was I was like, you're my friend. You know. At least I get to hang out with my friend for a little bit. Right. We'll make this movie. It was supposed to be six, seven days of filming.
Right.
It was a feature. We were shooting out in Santa Clarita and it's probably too much information, but
all productions in Santa Clarita.
So we were shooting out in the desert. I get a call around 11:30. They're like, "Can you be here in half an hour?" I was like, sure. I show up. The sound guy is still there. When they're firing. He's still there when I get there.
Were they firing him the day of?
Like, yeah, they just fired him. Jeez. So they were breaking for lunch, and he was gonna leave at lunch.
What the fuck?
So I show up and I go inside like their little where they have like base camp.
Right.
And they're like, oh shit, what are you doing here? He's gonna come in here and get lunch before he leaves. And I was like, I don't know this man. Like, I don't know what's going on. They're like, go hide.
Wait, you would go hide?
I was like, all right. So I went to my car and waited like 20 minutes. And I saw the guy packing up and leaving and stuff. And then we go up to the set after I eat lunch. And we start shooting. And at first, it's like, it's one of those sets where like, it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, nobody really is on the same page. Which happens. Like, if it's the first two days of shooting are usually rough.
Right.
You know, it's really rare that you get, like, a good first day. And, mm-hmm. and everybody has to get to know each other and get into, like, each other's groove.
Of course.
You're going to make it happen. But, like, the first day is kind of like, what are we doing?
You're feeling people out.
You're feeling people out. Yeah. And then you're figuring out what each person expects of you as far as communication and, like, what everybody needs from each other. But you make it happen. It's second day, and I'm fresh there, so I'm like, I'm really like, we've dropped into the middle of the script, and just like, I don't know what's going on. So I'm figuring it out, and we start shooting. We shoot a few scenes, and the director just explodes because it is going slower than it should, and she just goes off. She's like, I'm paying everybody to be. She was paying very low rates, by the way. I'm paying everybody to be here, and you guys get. I need to tell you how to do your jobs, and she just explodes in the middle of the set.
Yeah,
and everybody's like, just the mood just dies.
Awkward.
And at that point, I was like, well, this sucks. Like, I don't want to work for this person anymore.
Yeah,
like I'm done. So I didn't quit at the moment, but like, I finished up my day, and then I sent the producer an email saying, hey, dude, like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to work for this person. I felt like that set was really abusive and like kind of like, I wasn't super comfortable being around this director.
Right.
And I'm cool talking to them about it. Like, and I'll stay for 2 more days just so you can find somebody. Like, I'll do you guys that solid and just like give you guys time to find somebody. And then she's like, okay, that's the producer was really nice. She understood.
Yeah.
So she's like, that's cool. Thanks for giving us the time. And then they started looking for somebody else. I found out the next morning, my friend, the AD, got fired.
Whoa.
Right that night. Like, the same time that I was quitting, she had got fired.
Jeez.
Because they said that she wasn't, like, doing her job and, like, directing people, like, you know, doing. So, yeah. And then I worked my 2 days there. And after my 2 days, I was done. You know, I was out. And I've kept in contact with a few people. And I've heard that they canceled the production altogether now because it was just not work. I think everybody else probably quit, but like, so I've seen postings online. They're going to start shooting again in December.
Oh, they're same production?
No. Same production. Yeah. I've seen their job postings. So it's one of those where like,
good luck guys.
That's the only one though. Like I've done probably about 30 short films and 3 features now.
Wow.
And in this year.
Oh, in this year.
Oh, shit.
Jeez
Louise. Like, just this year.
Like that. Shit.
Yeah. Like, that's the one that, like, I actually had to step away from. And it's rare. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that situation where you felt like you had to step away. I hope not. Because it's not a great feeling, you know?
It's not. I just love how you stood up for yourself.
You set
up your boundaries.
I ain't dealing with this.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, that's the thing. Like, being into this job, I feel like that gives me that power.
Listen.
I don't have to do a job I don't want to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Just me as a person, the fact that you're doing this on such a short notice, like that in general, I'll feel so grateful for. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, dude, you don't have to drive 30 minutes out from wherever the fuck you are to come and, you know, be on my set, dude. You don't have to do that. You have better things to do. But the fact that you're coming out of your way, you know, to come and help out and, you know, just because this guy didn't work out, you know, dude, like, where's the appreciation at? Yeah. There's no appreciation there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I don't need that. I don't need the appreciation. I like it. It's nice to have someone say that to me, but, like, I don't need it.
You just need a good working environment.
I just need you to be decent to everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Just be, like, I know it's bad.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that it's bad.
It gets, like, stressful.
Yeah. We all understand it.
Exactly.
We all like, if somebody is really having a challenging time, take them inside the base camp, be like, dude, you need to do this better. Talk to them. Don't blow up in the middle of the set.
Right.
Like that's not like conducive to like anybody's like
right.
mental health or anything. Everybody at that point was done. Like, I talked to all the whole crew and they were all like, this sucks.
It was like your parents chewing you out.
Yeah. And it's like, nobody needs that.
No one needs that.
It's literally, like you said, you could just literally talk to everybody. A better way that could have been handled is like, get everybody together quick. Hey,
yeah, have a meeting.
Quick meeting, guys. 5 minutes at base camp. That'd be great.
We're going too slow.
Yeah.
We need to get all on the same page. Yeah. We need, so you just have that meeting, have that communication. Right. Like it was just, and she blew up again on my third day there.
Oh, geez. Yes.
And because she, there was this whole thing with the light and she didn't realize it took time to move it. So like we were losing like 30 minutes every time she wanted to move this thing. And she was just like, I didn't understand. And like the new AD she hired was like, that's when you rent these things, you have to do the homework.
Yes, exactly. You
know? And he was really good. He was an amazing AD. Like I would work with him. Most of the crew I'd work again in a heartbeat. It's just her as a director was just like.
That's definitely a big thing. Like as a director or as a producer, you got to know what's happening and how this equipment works, how this camera works. How your crew works.
Do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework. How to be a leader. How to get a great set going. Because at the end of the day, everybody works differently.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody will take that kind of leadership the same way.
Yeah.
You know, this person might need a little bit more push. This person might need some appreciation, like a little good job. Mm-hmm. And that might get them going. This person might need a little bit more guidance. It's completely different, you know. And the way that I see it as if I ever direct, once I direct one day, I want to make sure, I want to give everybody from cast, crew, above the line, below the line, I want to give them that feeling of excitement, like if it was their first day on set again.
Yeah.
Like that kind of like, oh my God, I love this place, you know? That kind of thing, that kind of atmosphere.
We're making magic and make-believe. Like, why do we need to make it terrible for anybody?
Oh
like,
my gosh. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's literally, we all got together here and we're going to play pretend like for, if it was a play date.
Yeah.
Everyone play nice.
We play for, 12 hours a day and then and we put it out to the world for people to be like, oh, wow.
I love that.
Yeah, and why it doesn't need to be bad.
Yeah, it doesn't need, I don't know why people make it so difficult and hard. Yeah. It's just egos clashing, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of projecting. A lot of like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet type of deal. And I get it, man. Yeah. We all feel that way sometimes, but I have to freaking put it on other people. Like when we're all, dude, you already, I don't want to crap on the person. You're already making something. You are fortunate enough to have the money to make something. You're fortunate enough to have people do this for you. Why are we mad?
Yeah. They had a great budget. They had a great crew.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where like,
something's probably going on outside of that.
And I might just be a person that, like, maybe you shouldn't be the one directing. Maybe you should just be a producer in a chair, you know, making sure everything goes the way you want with somebody else who's, like, a good people person director.
Right.
Some people just are better at that.
Yeah, somebody with patience.
Yeah. and it's totally, like, a valid thing, you know? Like, to take a step back and be like, you need to direct this because I'm going to get angry.
Right.
You know, like, and
personal reevaluation.
Yeah.
Personal inventory. Am I a good director? Can I take that?
It also might be a thing of like in the past like 3 to 5 years, it's changed. People have to be nicer.
Definitely.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From just stories I've heard. Like I'm new. I'm 2 years in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in TV film production, I'm only a year in.
Yeah.
Like modeling commercial stuff, a year. So 2 years in total in this industry, but a year of like TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, from the stories I've heard from people talking about acting on podcasts or interviews, like I've seen strikes. Mm-hmm. So me seeing strikes shows that everybody is knowing their worth now.
Yeah.
We're not working for this certain rate. We're not working in these conditions, in this environment. We're not working these hours. We need overtime pay and there can't be back-to-back days and this and that. And there's so many things that I've seen that I'm new to, but I didn't know that it barely changed now.
Yeah.
I've always thought it was been like this.
No.
But from what I've heard, it's never been like that. And I was looking through the union, like how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things like you can't have two back-to-back 16 hours a day.
Yeah. Because you need to have yeah. a certain amount of time between days.
I think there's like is it 12 hours, or six, yeah. 16, 12, 16 hours in between
yeah.
days.
Over, yeah, turnover. Yeah,
turnover. So I'm like, damn, I didn't know that. Like I thought it's always been like that, but I heard it was never mm-hmm. like that. It's like really recent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And like you guys have, there's health benefits now, there's pension mm-hmm. and all these sort of things. It's really unionized where you get taken care of. And I see the rates for certain budgets. I'm like, wow.
Oh yeah.
These guys get paid.
Yeah.
They get really paid. Even if it's long hours, they get paid, man. Mm-hmm. The longest I've been on set was a 16-hour day. That was nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, and then the next day we had another like 10-hour day. I'm like, bro, this is mm-hmm. I love it though. Like I was like, dude, I want to do this for the rest of my life. But mm-hmm. I can only imagine the crew.
Yeah.
Cause they work really fucking hard. Like all I had to do was sit there and say some shit and that's it. And I chill the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, but the crew's there all day, every single day. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. I don't know how people do it, but I commend them. So not is it commend? I'm not
yeah, yeah.
commend, right? Commend them.
Yeah.
I love them. I love
bro, that's why like on our production, like I was just constantly trying to get them water, yeah, trying to anything, get them something. Dude. Anything to just try to ease them from the hours.
Literally without production, there's no movie.
No.
There's no fucking movie, dude. And me and Marcos, every time we've just made an agreement within us, even David, remember David, mm-hmm. the director. Yeah, yeah. So us three were on this endeavor to making our own production company one day. And one of the things that we really want to emphasize on is make it feel like it's their first day on set again. And they're in love with what they're, that kind mm-hmm. of excitement, you know? And if we can do that, if we can make everybody comfortable and happy and just have a great working, a great hang, literally mm-hmm. half of acting is hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, because there's people are setting up, people are waiting for people. It's just a great hang. You got to have a great hang to, you know, to be in this industry. And that's just what we just want to do and still get the job done. Still yeah. great, get great quality. Because the happier the production is, the better that shit's going to look because everyone is happy. Everyone's good.
Everyone's excited.
Yes, everyone's excited.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I freaking love this movie stuff now, dude. I never thought I'd be in things like this, bro.
Anything you've seen recently that you really, really liked?
Yeah.
I've been watching The Peripheral with Chloe Grace Moretz.
I heard that's good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's really
what is it on? Show.
It's on Amazon.
Amazon.
Okay. Amazon's yeah. out here.
They have that movie, I mean that show has a budget.
Yeah.
Cause
how much prep?
Look it up.
Oh, you have a fucking laptop.
Yeah, it's you have a lot. Laptop on your freaking.
What's the show name?
The Peripheral.
The Peripheral.
It's probably up there because I there's some stuff in that show that I haven't seen in like high budget movies.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That has budget.
Yeah, it's great.
Euphoria too is like.
Oh, what are we movie. What are we looking at?
My God, I didn't know it's by the Russo brothers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh dude.
235. Mill,
yeah,
per episode
or general,
for the season.
I think for the season.
I can see that there is like, it all went to VFX.
My yeah. God, 235.
Because a lot of the show takes place like on a farm, which costs nothing.
So, wow.
Yeah, 235 for the
dude. Give me $2 million to make something. I'll make that shit amazing.
Yeah, man.
235. I will make a new world for you.
That's what they did.
I gotta watch that. I gotta watch that.
It's great. Peripheral.
Have you seen White Lotus?
No.
Have you seen the first season? No? Mm-hmm. You gotta watch it, man.
It's great.
I love it. It's one of my favorite shows right now. Season one is one of my favorite shows, for sure, ever. It's fucking good.
I'll check it out.
Check it out, man. I haven't seen season two yet. I know two episodes are out right now. Mm-hmm. But season one, they did it in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine they did this during COVID. So they were in Maui, Hawaii in a whole resort. I think it's the Four Seasons. So it was shut down. There was no one there. So it was this crew cast in that whole Maui Four Seasons resort filming a TV show.
For potting four it months up? Straight.
That's it. Yeah.
That's party. Awesome.
Imagine Damn. That. 4 months, bro. They were there in Maui Four Seasons. Just the actors and their family. And the producers and
that's so cool.
For 4 months,
what man. A great opportunity! Like seriously. COVID has been so many bad things, but like, you couldn't have done that outside of that world of like that happening. That's it's crazy,
fucking nuts. And I remember one of the actresses were saying, "Yeah, I had my kids here, mm-hmm. and they were doing online school then. So what would happen was that I would film a scene. I pretend I only had one scene in a day. I'd finish filming and I'd see my kids walk in from freaking skimboarding and now they're going to go to the cafeteria just to do their homework. And they're like, hey, after you guys are done, you guys want to go take a swim? And all the crew and cast would go and swim at night and have dinner.
Wow.
I'm like, bro.
You're not even working at that point.
That's not work. dude, no way. That's I'm not considering that work. That's play. Dude, in Maui, Jesus, dude, you guys got to see it. And you can tell that show is so good that you could tell that was the vibe the whole time.
Because
everyone wanted to be there. You know, like, it's just, oh, that show is good.
Awesome.
Got to watch that.
The White Lotus. I wonder what their budget is.
We got to make a movie like that one day. I want
a destination movie where we go to
Hawaii. We just do a Hawaiian movie. And we're there for 4 months. And it's a vacation. It's a paid vacation. But we just work maybe 12 hours a day. It's just a paid vacation.
Yep.
That would be so much fun. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, that's a good show. What else is a good show? Have you seen on Netflix Kristen Bell's satire dark comedy series? It's called The Woman at the Window Next
to I haven't watched it, but I know what you're talking about. I saw the title and I was like, this has to be a joke.
It's hilarious. It's a satire. It's really, I like it.
What was it about?
It's about a mom that lost her daughter, died, and lost her husband. But not died, but divorced. And this new family moves in across the street. And this new family is like the ideal family for her. Like, that's what I lost and I want that. And she thinks that the guy's into her and all this stuff. And she thinks that she just, you got to watch it. It's hard for me to explain. It's really good. She's like an alcoholic that drinks a lot of wine. The Woman at the Window Next Door something. Just put Kristen Bell.
It's a really long title.
It's a really long title, bro. It's really good though.
That's the joke.
The Woman at the Window
Next Door, Kristen Bell. Just put that in and try to tell us. See it?
There's actually a movie called The Woman in the Window.
Okay, not that one. It's a satire series.
That's hilarious.
It's on Netflix. Just look at Kristen Bell's credits, even though it might be a lot.
Yeah, she does a lot.
Well, The Woman in the House Across the Street from The Girl in the Window?
Yes.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Jeez.
Dude, you got to watch it. It's really good. I like it.
It's an American dark comedy. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you recommend, Marco?
Well, we recently just saw Triangle of Sadness.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, probably the best comedy movie of the year.
Yeah.
Hands
down.
Dark comedy. When we first caught it, we're buying popcorn, and the guy, what do you say? It's kind of like.
It's Parasite, but the American version or European version.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's kind of like that. And it is. Well, as you could tell, this podcast is going to be primarily a lot about the industry of acting and producing. And this time around is going to be different. We have a lot planned. We have a great guest coming up from acting to social media to psychologists. I think that's one thing that we're really excited about. So the psychology part of this podcast, because we really want to dive deep into the human story and what makes us tick, what our failures are, and how we could be better as human beings, and how we could take care of our mental health. That's going to be huge. That's really something I really want to tap into this time around. And really stay consistent. Every Monday, we'll be dropping new episodes. That's going to be every Monday. Yes, every Monday. Every Monday. And if we don't drop anything, you go ahead and DM me. Just cuss me out and keep me responsible, because I'm promising you that every Monday I'm going to do it, but I'm not. So just keep me responsible. All right.
He just had to turn up the headphones. Yeah.
You guys, I hope you guys love what we have coming up. Might get boring when we talk about film for those of you guys that aren't in film, but just skip to the end and you'll have some fun. Anyways, thank you for listening to our very first episode back. We have an awesome episode coming up next Monday. I don't want to reveal who we're having, but it's going to be awesome. I'm Justin.
And I am Marcos.
I'm Tony.
And this is a new podcast.
Signing off. See ya.